My wonderful young friends, I express my love for each and every one of you. I express my love for the Lord, and I begin by bearing you my personal witness that I know the work is true. I believe implicitly in the law of tithing, and I'm grateful that you and I have had the privilege of reviewing again this tremendous film produced by Brigham Young University. It has been a blessing to all the church for many, many years, and now is being recycled in order that the people might once again have their faith renewed in this tremendous principle of tithing. As this film was being produced in St. George, Sister Simpson and I had the privilege of being there, as I was a member of the presiding bishopric at the time. And I shall never forget that moment as Brother Urey, playing the part of Lorenzo Snow, came into the tabernacle, and all the people dressed in the appropriate attire of 1899 stood to sing, "We thank thee, O God, for a prophet." We were there, and we shed tears with everyone as though we were reliving that moment of 1899. What a glorious experience it was. And we knew at that very moment that this film was being made by the Lord, that this film was being produced to teach the saints all over the world about this great and basic principle. Brother Robert Stumm, who was the cameraman on that project and who has since been responsible for filming many dozens of films, told us the little story about standing at the side of the rail line as the old vintage train was coming around the corner for that very precious shot. They couldn't afford to hire the train for more than a couple of hours, so every shot had to be just right. And he said as it came around the corner, he said he was so filled with emotion, tears filled his eyes, and he couldn't see a thing through the little sight. And he thought that the whole thing was ruined. But the Lord was there and was helping him. And when they developed the film, it was exactly as it should have been, even though he couldn't see because of the tears that filled his eyes on that occasion. Well, now, my wonderful young people, I hope you've been able to catch the vision of what happened in our day. I hope you've been able to catch the vision of how the Lord speaks through his servants. I hope you've been able to catch the vision of this great law of tithing. The great promise given to these people in St. George was fulfilled. The promise was made that the rains would come, and the rains did come. One thing that was very significant to me was the fact that the rains didn't come the next day, nor the next week. Do you know that it was nearly 11 weeks before that rain came? President Spencer W. Kimball has authored a wonderful book entitled Faith Precedes the Miracle. These people had to demonstrate their faith. And then, almost at the hour of despair, the Lord blessed them, and their souls were sanctified. And so it will be with each and every one of us who obeys the commandments of our Heavenly Father. What a great blessing it is to know that this great principle is blessing the people all over the world. And as you and I pay our tithing here in the center stakes of Zion, we have a great building program going on in these developing areas of the church. Did you know that this year there will be some 800 projects completed and dedicated all over this world? Did you know that in addition to these 800 projects, there are another 700 projects in readiness for next year? And did you know that there are also another 650 projects that are in the long-range development stage for 2 years from now? This work will not cease. And when these wonderful people in faraway places dedicate their meeting houses and they're paid in full Did you know that 80% of that fee has come from the general tithing funds of the church? Aren't you grateful to know that your tithing has helped to build a building in South Africa, in Germany, in Australia and New Zealand? Aren't you grateful to know that by this great cooperative effort, the church can go forward and people can be blessed in every land? I'm grateful to my Heavenly Father that this church is free of debt. I'm grateful that with all the buildings and with all the lands that we have to bless our people, there is not one piece of property that has mortgage on it. Every piece of property is paid in full because we are a tithe-paying people, and because the Lord has blessed us, and because we have caught the vision of what a prophet of God has instructed us to do. The law of the tithe is this, found in the 119th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, that one-tenth of all their interest shall be paid annually. One-tenth of all their interest. I've always been intrigued by the verbiage used by the Lord. And then he goes on to say, this shall be a standing law unto my people forever, in order to sanctify the land of Zion unto me. Isn't it good to know that this nation will be blessed as you and I pay our tithing? For indeed, the land of Zion will be sanctified unto the Lord as his faithful people pay their tithing. I'm so grateful for the quotation found in the 132nd section of the Doctrine and Covenants. Let me start with the fifth verse. For all who will have a blessing at my hand shall abide the law which was appointed for that blessing, and the conditions thereof, as were instituted before the foundation of the world. And as pertaining to the new and everlasting covenant, it was instituted for the fullness of my glory, and he that receiveth a fullness thereof must and shall abide the law, or he shall be damned, saith the Lord. For every law there is a blessing. I'm grateful to my Heavenly Father that he has a perfect plan by which we might be blessed. Several years ago, a great film was made called The Ten Commandments. The producer of this film was Cecil B. DeMille. He is not with us any longer, but he was a great soul. And this is what Cecil B. DeMille had to say on one occasion concerning the Ten Commandments and the laws of our Heavenly Father. Cecil B. DeMille said, "We are too inclined to think of law as something merely restrictive, something hemming us in. We sometimes think of law as the opposite of liberty. But this is false conception. God does not contradict himself. He did not create man and then, as an afterthought, impose upon him a set of arbitrary, irritating, restrictive rules. He made man free and then gave him commandments to keep him free. We cannot break the Ten Commandments. We can only break ourselves against them, or else by keeping them, rise through them to the fullness of freedom under God. God means us to be free. With divine daring, he gave us the power of choice." That quote from Cecil B. DeMille. Aren't you grateful, my wonderful young people, that we will reap a blessing for every law that Heavenly Father gives us? Aren't you grateful that laws are given to keep us free, that we might be able to have bodies that are unrestricted as we keep the word of wisdom, that we might have peace of mind, that we might be able to bless our fellow men as we pay our tithing and help the kingdom of God to grow and progress, and probably most important of all, that the windows of heaven might be opened and a blessing poured out upon us so great that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know, Nephi, as he was writing 3 Nephi during the time of the Savior's visit to this continent, Let me quote from 3 Nephi, chapter 24. The Lord inquired of him whether certain things had been recorded, certain things that had been taught by Samuel the Lamanite and other great prophets. And Nephi, it says, remembered that these things had not been written. And then Jesus commanded that they should be written. And those writings that were commanded at that time were from Malachi, including this great quotation that we heard in the film, "Will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me. Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." And then a little further down he says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and in that day when I make up my jewels." Wouldn't you like to be included in that day when the Lord makes up his jewels? I'd like to be included. I'd like to be there and hear someone say, in the most pleasant voice that I've ever heard, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into my presence." And so, my wonderful young people, what do we mean by one-tenth of our interest annually? I'd like to suggest to you that sometimes we put a little money in the bank and we earn interest. Sometimes we invest our muscle power in a job and we get a little wage for it, the same as the interest that our money earns in the bank. Sometimes a professional person will invest knowledge and skill, and for that he gets a salary. A farmer will invest in seed and soil and water and tender care of his crops, and from that comes a profit at the end of the year, at the end of the season. Now, I would like to suggest to you that tithing is to be paid on that interest from the bank. It is to be paid on that wage. It is to be paid on that salary. I would like to suggest to you that we do not have the right to alter the word of the Lord. Some people say, "Well, after I pay a few of my bills, then I'll pay my tithing on what's left." But that isn't what the First Presidency have directed. The First Presidency have directed that we should do exactly as we are instructed in the 119th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, and we should pay one-tenth of our interest annually. And some people try to reason, "Well, how about my taxes? I never see my taxes. They're an automatic deduction. So therefore, I shouldn't pay tithing on that part which includes my taxes that I never see." And my answer to that person would be this: we have made arrangement for those taxes to be deducted from our paycheck. And just because our employer is good enough to pay some of our bills for us, why should we penalize the Lord? And not only that, I reason in my mind that when I pay income taxes to live in these United States of America, when I help to pay for the space program, when I help to pay for all of the other national programs, the national highways that I drive on, and all the rest of it, I'm paying rent for living in America. And just because I pay rent for the convenience of living in America and all that it affords me, why should I choose the right to penalize the Lord for it? I do not have that right. Well, I'm grateful for the law of tithing. When I was in the presiding bishopric, Bishop Vandenberg had a letter from a minister of another faith. He was intrigued about how this church was progressing with the law of tithing, and he wanted some information, some literature, and all that we could tell him. And so a letter was sent back, and a few weeks later came the answer. Gratitude. Thanks for the letter. Thanks for the information. Thanks for all that you've told me about tithing. We're going to start it in our church next week. But unfortunately, we can't go all the way yet. We're going to start with 5% tithing. And I would like to suggest to you that there's no such thing as a 5% tithing, because the word itself means 10%. And that's the way it should be. The Lord is the greatest paymaster in all this world. And any man who will put his faith in God and pay his tithing will receive the blessings of heaven just as surely as you and I meet in this auditorium here tonight. I'm grateful for being on the Lord's team. He is the greatest paymaster of all time. And as I mentioned to some of you a few months ago, just by example, President Kimball has been the prophet for 6 years nearly. I think it'll be 6 years the end of this month. And during those 6 years, we have increased our missions in the world from 108 missions up to 175 missions, a 60% increase. We have increased our missionaries worldwide from 17,000 now to 29,000, a 65% increase in the number of missionaries. We have increased the efficiency of our missionary work because our missionaries are doing a better job with the discussions and because they're being trained better in the missionary training center and because we're just doing a better job worldwide. A missionary 5 years ago was realizing 9 baptisms per missionary during a 2-year mission. Today, that same missionary is baptizing 14 during his 2-year mission. And that's a 55% increase in the effectiveness of the missionary force. So while we as a church are bobbing along with a 60% increase and a 65% increase and 55% increase and feeling very wonderful about it all, we depend upon the Lord for the convert baptisms. And then he gives us a dividend on the bottom line. And that dividend is from 77,000 convert baptisms 5 years ago to what looks to be in the vicinity of 200,000 this year, probably at the end of this month, which means a 156% increase. Not 55%, not 60%, but the Lord gives us a dividend of 156% increase on the bottom line number of convert baptisms. And I'd like to suggest to you that if you pay your tithing, the dividend will be in somewhat the same ratio. It's wonderful. You just can't get in debt to the Lord. It's impossible to do so. You know, a high-ranking member of the Communist Party from Moscow made this observation during a week-long visit here to observe the church in action. He said this, "You Mormons are unique because of your ability to be dedicated to a cause and also your willingness to sacrifice." I assumed that he'd come all the way from Russia just to find out what makes us tick and why we excel in these two things. He went on to suggest that these two traits were important to any major movement, and hopefully his visit here might help him to gain some insight that he could share with his comrades of the Soviet Union. Unfortunately, he was unable to accept the one factor that makes this kind of dedication possible: an implicit belief in a supreme being and an understanding of God's eternal plan for his children. Aren't you grateful, my young people, that we have the truth? Aren't you grateful that we have the plan? Aren't you grateful that Heavenly Father has foreordained you and me, and that we're privileged to live in this time of the world's history when all these great things are happening, and that you and I can participate in these great laws of eternity? Someone once observed, it doesn't take money to pay tithing, it takes faith. And I bear testimony to you that is true. There are many wealthy individuals in the church who choose not to pay their tithing. And you and I both know many widows in the church who have minimal incomes, but who insist on keeping their account with the Lord current each month. They do it without fail. They do it without complaint. They have a strong testimony that Heavenly Father has given a commandment, and their main desire is to abide the law and reap its attendant blessings. Well, I sure feel a lot better when I go to the marketplace with $9 in my hand and the help of the Lord than I would if I went to the marketplace with $10 on my own. I think I'll do a lot better with that $9 and the help of the Lord than I will with $10 on my own. You know, just last year, We completed our fundraising drive for the great Jordan Valley Temple, Jordan River Temple. And do you know that the wonderful saints of Utah Valley and a few other areas in Wyoming and the Midwest were able to donate $18 million that a new temple might be built? $18 million. And did you know that there's a ward right in the middle of the Salt Lake Valley that is almost totally widows? And do you know that they were the first ones to meet their quota? They didn't only meet their quota, they nearly doubled their quota, because this one ward of widows reported to their stake president just weeks after the campaign had started, here is $100,000 for the new temple. This out of one ward. And that ward was primarily made up of widows. Do you know that over in East Germany, in communist Germany, behind the Iron Curtain, we have nearly 5,000 saints. These saints believe in the law of the tithe. Their tithing can't come into the general tithing funds of the church. It has to stay in East Germany. And so our church leaders there put it in the bank. We have an arrangement where it can be banked. Ordinarily, people are stimulated when they know their money's going being used to send out missionaries and to build buildings. But here the money just must remain in the bank until something changes. But month after month without fail, these saints of East Germany pay their tithing, not because the money's going anyplace, but because they want to fulfill a commandment of the living God, and they want to reap the blessings and have the windows of heaven open that that blessing might be theirs. Let me tell you just briefly about a wonderful brother down in New Zealand by the name of Hoko Fitu. Hoko Fitu no longer lives, but many years ago, he lived out on the seacoast, well off the beaten track in New Zealand. So far off the beaten track that the missionaries were only able to visit maybe two or three times a year. He lived in a little fishing hut. That was his profession. He loved to fish, and that was his way of earning a living. And in this little fishing hut, he lived without a family because he was old and they had all gone or moved to the big city. And the missionaries came on this one occasion, and Brother Hoko Fitu was so pleased to see them. He couldn't speak English. He greeted them in Maori, took them in his little hut, and went right over to a particular place and presented them with an envelope. And the missionaries found it bulging with money. They took a letter out. It was written in English. Brother Fitu couldn't read the letter, but he could recognize the church letterhead. He recognized Matthew Cowley's signature down at the bottom, his mission president. And he could read numbers. And in the middle, it talked about a certain amount of money. And he said to himself, my mission president needs some more money to run this mission. And he had that money in the envelope for the elders to take back. The elders read the letter to him, translating it into Maori. Dear Brother Fitu, this letter will serve as a receipt and an acknowledgement for all the tithing you paid last year. May the Lord bless you in it. And he was ready to pay the whole amount all over again because he thought the church was in trouble. Well, now that's the kind of Polynesian faith that you and I need. Now, wonderful young people, may the Lord bless us. I'd just like you to know that the main purpose of tithing is not to build 800 buildings all over this world this year. The main thing that happens when tithing is paid is what happens inside the individual. What happens as your soul is sanctified? What happens as the blessings of heaven unfold upon you as those windows are opened wide? And I would like to leave this thought with you. Someone has observed that worship, true worship, is really not possible without sacrifice. Had you ever thought about that? Make sacrifice a part of your worship. And I want to promise you, your lives will be sanctified. I want to promise you, your lives will be blessed. I want to promise you that the peace of heaven will be yours. Even that peace spoken of by the Savior when he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And also security. If there are two things that this world wants today, it's number one, peace, and number two, security. And I promise each and every one within range of my voice tonight that if you will pay an honest tithing, and if you will live close to the Lord and follow this great commandment, that you will have peace of mind, and you will have security in your life, and you will have the blessings of heaven pour down upon you so great that you shall not be able to receive it all. And I so testify in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.